A very good morning to you, brothers and sisters. It's always a joy to come together to worship God through songs, to hear His word, and to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to spend some time looking at a very common phrase that Jesus often used throughout His ministry. And we are going to spend some time looking at the passage that was just read to us. We realize that Jesus used a very common phrase. And we want to see the gravity of this particular phrase and how it applies to each and every one of us in our Christian walk. Let's spend some time in prayer before we look at God's word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love upon us. We thank you that today we can still come to worship you. We can still come, Lord, to call you Abba Father, because nothing, a God, is able to separate us from loving you or even serving you. We pray, God, as we spend some time looking at your word, we pray that your spirit will continue to work in our lives, O Father. Speak to us, reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I believe many of us are very familiar with this game called Follow the Leader game. When I was young, I remember playing this particular game. I think all of us would be aware of the rules and regulations that is involved in this particular game. One person is a leader, and then the rest of the group people are either seated in a circle or they may be standing in a circle. As all of us know, the leader is there and he changes his actions. And the group members are asked to just follow him or even imitate the leader. And then around that time, you know, someone is invited outside the group, a person who's supposed to guess. And this person tries to determine who the group leader is. So the person observes, you know, when this person is looking at the other side, the leader often changes his actions, and people in the group are to be more alert, right? They're constantly looking to ensure that they are following every movement of the leader because they want to be in the game. If your actions are totally different, you know, the person who's guessing will say, you know, are you the one? And then people might even, you know, smile at us. You know, it's an interesting game. But today we need to ask ourselves, you know, who are we imitating? Who are we following? Are we following the leader that we play in this particular game? But one way or another, we all of us are imitating someone. Or we are following someone. And the passage that we just read to us is a wonderful passage because Jesus knows us. He knows that each and every one of us need guidance in our life. He knows that we are seeking for directions in our life. We are also finding ways to draw closer to Him. And the very common phrase that Jesus uses is the phrase, follow me. It's a very common phrase, but it's a very powerful phrase. And Jesus uses this word 13 times. He says, follow me. And that word or even phrase that was taken seriously by the disciples, that they were willing to give their life for the Lord Jesus Christ because they wanted to follow the Lord Jesus. I've entitled the sermon for today as Follow Me and I Will Make You. The passage that we just read, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Now, just to give you a summary, you know, Jesus is starting his Galilean ministry. And so he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were busy, as usual. They were casting their nets because they were fishermen. They were professional fishermen. And that was their family business. And Jesus sees them in verse 19, and he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, or I will send you out to fish for men. The word says in 20 that immediately at once they left their nets and followed Jesus. So likewise in verse 21 onwards, you see Jesus is also inviting James, the son of Zebedee, and also his brother John. They too left their nets and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful testimony. They heard the voice of Jesus, follow me. And they left and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, as his ministry progressed, he told the crowd in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus invites the crowds by saying, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Even at the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus recommissioned the repentant Peter. And he used the same words. He said, follow me, in John chapter 21, verse 19. When I look at the word follow or following today, I came across an article that talks about the use of social media today. In the world today, there are nearly 3.2 billion people following someone on social media. Can you imagine? 3.2 billion people are following someone on social media. You know, that is around 42% of the world's population. In other words, someone, everybody is following somebody. You know, the reason following people on social media is so popular because it's so easy. Following people today just requires nothing more than you just like the person's vacation post or a recipe or what's happening in their families or even dinner. And so what is happening today, you know, today's culture concept of following is so shallow, it requires no real commitment at all. When you like, you follow. If you don't like, you don't follow the person. And unfortunately, what has happened? Many Christians have adopted a very social media gospel. Or even they have become a social media Christian, my friend. Whatever we like, we take it, and we don't like, we just leave it. That's the kind of, you know, Christianity many are following. You know, and when you look at much of Christianity in today's culture, have been reduced so much, right? And they say, you know, just say a prayer and you ask Jesus into your heart, you know, and that's what you need, and you don't need anything more, you know, and your passport is given to heaven. And or you just believe on certain truths and that's it, you know, you have made it. Christianity has become so shallow. But that was never how Jesus invited people. When you look at the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he often said this word, follow me. In other words, Jesus defines believers as being his disciple. And the word disciple he used more than 300 times. It's not about, you know, what you say. It's about how we live in this world. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, we see the gravity. Jesus says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. We are called to take up our cross. If not, we are not worthy to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at the disciples that we just read today from the passage, you know, they followed Christ. And because they followed Christ, people were able to see that they were great testimony. In Acts chapter 17, verses 6 to 7, when you read, you know, the people in those days or even the authorities said, you know, these men have turned the world upside down because they were living a life that was so powerful, a great testimony. They were just making an impact in the people they met, even in the society, my friend. And I believe the Lord is not only calling Peter, James, Andrew, or John alone, but this invitation is going out to each and every one of us. God is calling us. And he says, follow me and I will make you. You just follow me and I will make you. And first and foremost, we need to ask ourselves, who is this me? Because if you realize we want to know who is this me, even in social media, what happens on OB when we see that this particular person has more likes, and the person is more popular, we want to follow. But this Jesus is much more greater than that, my friend. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the sovereign God. He's not an ordinary rabbi. He's not an ordinary teacher. He's not just a philosopher, the way some people think. He's the sovereign God. Matthew, in his gospel, sees Jesus as the sovereign king. He also says that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And if you look at the gospel of Mark, Mark depicts Jesus more than a man. He says that Jesus is the servant of all, the one God has sent to serve his people. And he's there to fulfill the purposes of God. And this Jesus is there, came because of love. And you look at Luke speaks in a very unique perspective. He speaks about Jesus as the Son of Man. And in John presents Jesus as the I Am, the living, divine Son of God. He's the Word of God. He's the Creator who gave life. And he works in our life. He is in our life through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is saying, you know, you follow me. I'm the Creator. I'm the sovereign God. I'm the one who's the giver and the sustainer of life. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, that's what Jesus is asking us to follow him, because, you know, he knows everything, my friend. Unlike the rabbis of those days. You know, when we come into contact with this sovereign king, when we come into contact with this God who's the Alpha and the Omega, there will always be a noticeable difference in our life. And people can see the difference because we have encountered this sovereign God. He's not an ordinary person, the creator of this world, the powerful God, God who knows everything, my friend. When we have this contact with him, there is a difference in our life. The way we look at the world, the way we look at one another, and even the way we look at ourselves. If someone would ask you, who is Jesus? You know, we would answer them correctly by saying, he is the Son of God. Or we may say, you know, he is the Savior. You know, all those answers are wonderful answers. And they're right answers. But today we need to ask ourselves, who is Jesus personally to me? Who is Jesus personally to me? Who is Jesus to me? You know, let's move on in this particular passage. Realize when Jesus calls, it's about him. When Jesus calls, he's calling us to him. In other words, he says, come follow me. He's calling us for fellowship and also for responsibility. Firstly, he's calling us for fellowship. You know, these disciples were not just following a stranger. They have met Jesus previously. They have heard about him from John the Baptist. They have spent some time. But now they have to make a choice whether to just profess themselves as Christians or they want to be a practicing Christians. Whether they want to say, you know, I'm a Christian, or they want to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ and be fully committed to him. You know, Jesus says, follow me. What does he mean? You know, in other words, the primary call as every Christian is simply to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to follow him. That is Christianity, my friend. We are not called to a task. which might be a secondary thing, but we are called to a relationship. It is this relationship that sustains us and gives us purpose. We are called to have fellowship with Jesus. We are called to have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ before God can make us to fish or to bring others into His saving knowledge. If I put it in a very simple term, you know, Jesus is calling us to just hang out with Him, to love Him, to learn of Him, and to share life with Him. And that's why when you read Paul's writing, Paul uses these words often. Almost 200 times he uses these three words, you would see. And he uses the word in Christ, he uses the word with Christ, and he says through Christ. And one of the great passage is Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where Paul says, I want to know Christ. He says, yes, I want to know Christ, to know the power of His resurrection and to participate in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. In other words, Paul was not speaking about a casual knowledge about Jesus, simply knowing Jesus as Savior. He was talking about an intimate and a deep knowledge of God, of Jesus, and to know Him, His power, and His presence. Today, my friend, I think we are invited to have that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many prefer to be just staying on the surface, spiritually. But that's not what the Lord's desire for us is. He calls us to draw closer to Him. He wants us to have a deeper and a stronger, intimate relationship with Him. Another authentic relationship with Him, my friend. Do we have that kind of relationship with Him? Can we say, you know, I follow Jesus. I'm not just a professing Christian, but I'm a practicing Christian. Let's look at the passage. It's a wonderful passage for us, you know, when we look at the word follow mean. You know, when Jesus calls, it's about change. When Jesus calls, it's about change. You know, Jesus does not say, follow me and stay exactly where you are in your life. You look at the passage in verse 20, it says, no, they left at once, they left their nets and followed Him. So in other words, they readily left their old lives behind, which is so remarkable. At an enormous price, you know, just leaving their nets behind. They were not just ordinary fishermen, they were professional fishermen. That's their family business. That's their wealth. That's their livelihood. And they were willing to let go, drop their nets, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They were willing to leave behind the old assumptions, their ways of doing things behind, their old security, and to say, Lord, I trust You because I know You know the way for me. You know, many times I wonder why, what compelled the disciples, you know, to follow Jesus Christ and to drop everything? I think, when I look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but His life, His ministry, and His teaching, I believe there was something compelling about Jesus. They would have heard other rabbis, other teachers, or even Pharisees. But there was something about Jesus, His love, His teaching, His life, the way He looked at the crowd, the compassion. This cannot be an ordinary man. This man have to be the Messiah. They saw the message and the messenger, and they saw that this man is the Son of God. And that made them to leave behind everything and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, my friend, I think, are we willing to let go our nets? Is there a change in our life? Are we willing to let go, release, you know, the things that's stopping us from having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I came across an article that was written some years ago by A.W. Tozer, a great man of God. And I believe that this article is very applicable today. In this particular article, A.W. Tozer says, he says, far too many Christians do not live any different than the non-Christians around them. They're not walking and living like Jesus. They do not have the power of the Spirit working in and through them. And then A.W. Tozer says, as a result, Christianity has been watered down until the solution is so weak that if it were poison, it would not hurt anyone. And if it were medicine, it would not cure anyone. It has become a watered-down Christianity. Today, my friend, what is holding you back from having an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? What is something you need to drop and say, Lord, I just release this because I want to be authentic in my relationship with you. And I want to come and I want to draw closer to you because you have great plans for my life. And I want to lay down my nets because I know you're the author of the life and you're a God I can trust. You know, lastly, let's look at the passage once again. You know, you realize when Jesus calls, it's about priorities. He says, I will make you fisher of men. In other words, you know, he says, I will make you fish for men. You know, sometimes you might think, you know, is this what? You know, many times, you know, as many Christians, when they become Christian, they're expecting something different. But Jesus says, and I'll make you to fish for men. In other words, it's about evangelism. It's about winning people who do not know the love of God. It's about bringing them into a relationship with God. And that's the purpose, my friend. And that's the priority. And that is the reason that Jesus came into this world. If you remember the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Mount of Ascension, he said to them, you shall be my witnesses. It's about bringing people into the kingdom of God, that each and every person will experience God's love, my friend. Look at the Greek word very carefully. It does not only mean just reaching them with the gospel, but to bring them to the safe harbor. It's not just sharing the gospel, no, but bringing them to a safe harbor where they can experience God's love and to grow in Christ. The difference between Jesus' teaching and the rabbi's teaching, the rabbis, you know, they were just following the letters of the law. In other words, 613 laws were there. And they were just ensuring that people just following the law. But Jesus was teaching about caring for the human soul. The rabbis, they were stressing, you know, the importance of separation from the Gentiles. But Jesus was teaching about loving our neighbors and caring for those. And that was the message that Jesus was bringing. Now today, my friend, I think it's, and that's what God calls us to. God has called us to share and to show His love. And all of us know that, you know, we should witness. But what is stopping us from witnessing? You know, when I was reading Acts chapter 4, I realized nothing can stop the disciples. Because if you read Acts chapter 4, verses 18 to onwards, in verse 20, when they were in the midst of the religious authorities, and this was the answer, and they said, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. In other words, you know, nothing is able to stop us because we have witnessed, we have seen, and we want to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, my friend, we live in a time that there's a lot of need. There's a lot of people who are just searching for meaning to their life. They're searching to experience true love. And Jesus is the only one who's able to give them. And we have that. We know the gospel. We have experienced His love. We need to share. I believe God is calling each and every one of us to follow Him, to have a strong, intimate relationship with Him, and to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, to fish for people. Let me close with a story that was written by Bishop Eric, and he wrote this book called Jesus of Palestine. And in this particular book, you know, Bishop Eric writes about an incident that took place in Palestine. There were riots in the middle 30s, he says, and there was a particular village called Haifa. And the villages were so badly treated that the people who came to capture them took hold of all their possessions, particularly, you know, they had sheep and goats, and that was what they had. And so these authorities, you know, took hold of all these things and they placed them in a large field. You know, among them, there was a young boy. He was an orphan shepherd boy. He had only just 6 to 8 sheep or goats. And he was supposed to redeem them. You know, he got hold of money to redeem. They were allowed to redeem. And so he went to the big enclosure where the animals were just kept. And so he offered the money to the British sergeant who was in charge. They said, fine, you know, you can take your sheep or goat. So they brought him to the big enclosure. They wanted to make fun of this little boy, shepherd boy. And they said, you know, choose your sheep and goat. There's a lot of them over there. The boy was even shocked that he was even not able to see many. There were so many. They wanted to just make fun of him. But to their surprise, this little shepherd boy, he took his shepherd's pipe and he started playing. When he started playing, there was a response. The 6 to 8 sheep or goat that belonged to him heard his voice, heard his music, and knew that it was their shepherd. And they left from that multitude and they followed this boy out. What a powerful story. There were so many of them. But this 6 to 8 sheep or goat, they heard the voice. And they left with their master. Today, my friend, I think you and I, we live in a world when we hear so many voices. But can you recognize the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even if you recognize Jesus' voice, are we willing to follow? These 6 to 8 sheep could have stayed back, but they knew that the shepherd would take care of them. Likewise, we hear the voice of God very often, my friend. It's wonderful to hear, but it's much more greater to follow. And Jesus says, just follow me, and I will make you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful call that is given to each and every one of us. Help us, O Lord, to be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in our relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to be sincere in our walk with you, O Father. Lord, help us, Lord, to be your testimony, a testimony of God's love to a world that is searching for love. Help us, Lord, to say, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.